Hey, Venture family, welcome to worship today. I'm so glad that you decided to join us, regardless of where you're joining us from for worship. I know that some of you are probably local, some of you are from a distance away, regardless of where you're coming from. I'm glad that you're with us today. We're in the second week of a series that we've been calling The Real Jesus, and we're looking at significant attributes of who the real Jesus is, not just then, but who he is today in our lives today. The title for the message today is actually A Shepherd's Song for Stressful Times. Why in the world would I pick that as a title? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little bit stressed these days. Can anybody relate to me in that? And this past week, perhaps you joined us a few days ago in Joel Phillips, our worship pastor's backyard. We've been doing this thing. So many of us are gathering online at VCC Online Community. It's a Facebook group. If you're not there yet, I want to challenge you to come and join us there because there's some incredible community that's happening, including he's been going live, and it happened this past Wednesday night, a worship time leading us in worship. And if you missed it, you can go back and check that later. There was an incredible sunset, and it was so good for my soul. And as I was reading through the comments, as many of you were commenting on that, it was good for your soul as well. Because music, worship, settles our souls, focuses us. A shepherd's song for stressful times, that's what we're looking at today. David, King David. That guy in the Old Testament, that's where this song comes from. This is a dude that is connected with his own heart. The Bible in the Old Testament describes him as a man after God's own heart. And I want to read to you the song that he wrote, like 3,000 years ago. Right now, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, and I want you just to listen to these words. Let them wash over your soul. And look, in your mind's eye, I want to see what you see. It goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Go ahead, open up your eyes now. What do you picture? What's in your mind's eye? I'm guessing that what you see looks something like this. This is a picture of a Maryland farm. And for so many years, when I've read through the 23rd Psalm, this is what I picture. A red barn, rolling green fields. But you know what it really looked like? I mean, Psalm 23 might have been written in the palace. I showed you a picture of this last week. David's palace, Old Testament King David. It's possible that he wrote it later when he was a king, looking back at his youth, when he was a shepherd boy taking care of the sheep. But probably... actually, I would say quite likely. He wrote the 23rd Psalm in those moments in his childhood in the Judean wilderness, and it didn't look like that farm I just showed you. Rather, it looked like this. This is a video that I shot years ago on location in the Judean wilderness. Let me read through the 23rd Psalm right now in its appropriate context, in wilderness. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, and some translations say through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you see it? I mean, where were the green pastures, right? Where were the quiet waters? I mean, I saw the valley of the shadow of death. By the way, that was actually a thing, not just in David's time, but in Jesus' day as well. He talks about these kinds of valleys. Maybe you remember the song or the story of the Good Samaritan. And you remember that moment where the guy is walking through a valley and he gets beat up and left for dead. This was a known problem in those days, the valley of the shadow of death. By the way, did you notice as we read through there that we're not supposed to camp out in the valley? Some of us are doing too much of that right now. We're watching the news over and over again. We're obsessing about this all day, every day. We're not supposed to camp out in the valley. Rather, we're supposed to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But let's go back right now to the green pastures and the quiet waters, shall we? I mean, the passage says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Really? That seems like nonsense when we look at the forbidding wilderness that surrounded David and his vulnerable flock. And by the way, doesn't it seem like nonsense when we look at the empty store shelves and the hospitals that we're hearing stories on the news that are approaching capacity? How could David compose a piece of poetry about the absence of need in a place that lacked all he needed? And how can I feel full when life feels increasingly emptied? How in the world, if that's the setting that the 23rd Psalm was penned in, and I believe it is this a shepherd's song for stressful times? I love what my friend Jack Beck, who, by the way, was standing next to me many years ago when I filmed that video that we're watching. He's a scholar. He teaches on location in Israel. And I'll never forget his lesson on wilderness in that setting. And I love what he shared on social media just this past week. I want to share those words with you right now. He said, "David looked at what he had. And this is what I strive to do during this season of wilderness. I mean, I could focus on COVID-19 infection rates. I could focus on empty shelves. I could focus on the shortage of test kits. I could focus on the absence of vaccines. And like you, when I do, I feel disheartened and threatened by this season of wilderness. But here's what I choose to do. Look at what I have." David says, "I don't see green pastures right now, but I know who provides them if I keep walking through the valley. The Lord is my shepherd who remains at my side. To be sure, normalcy is in short supply these days. The things I think I need most are fading from view. I mean, my kingdom for a roll of toilet paper, right? But what I really need most will never vanish in life or in death. And that makes it possible for me to stand with David in the wilderness and declare, 'The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.'" So let's talk about a word that we've grown accustomed to in our 21st century environments. The word is comfort. I mean, we talk about comfort food. We talk about comfort sweatpants. Let's be honest, some of us have been hanging out in those comfortable sweatpants too much for the last couple of weeks. Right now, I want to invite you to go find something in your house that reminds you of comfort. We have these things we hold on to because they remind us of comfort. Maybe it's a favorite mug that you have. If that's it, go fill it up now with a cup of coffee and drink out of it for the rest of this message. Maybe it's a snuggie blanket that somebody gave you for Christmas a few years ago. Maybe it's a picture of grandma or some other relative that you love. Go grab that, pull it off of the wall, and I want you to bring it into the space that you're in right now. Maybe it's a stuffed animal. My wife has a stuffed animal that her uncle won for her from the county fair years ago when she was a little girl. This is a comfort item. She's kept it all of these years. Maybe it's an animal in the house. Let's be honest. It's not the cat. Cats are of the devil. You and I both know that to be true. You try to grab comfort from a cat, it's going to scratch your eyeballs out. So don't go for the cat right now, but maybe it's the dog. Maybe your dog provides you comfort. Make sure he's in the room with you right now. So go grab that thing that brings you comfort. I want you to turn up your volume on your TV, on your computer that you're watching this on. We want this to serve as a call to worship throughout the house, so wake up the kids if they're still snoozing. Gather together, go grab those comfortable items, bring them back into the space that we're in right now. And as you walk, I want to call you to worship. Let's worship as we walk right now. Okay, so now that you have that comfort item with you, I'm going to invite you just to have it right there by you. I want to attach some meaning, some additional meaning to that if I can. And actually, I'm going to invite you to maybe take that this week and put it somewhere in your house that's going to remind you of the truth that God is our shepherd. If you're taking notes, I want to share with you that God leads like a shepherd. And I want to share with you right now four truths that follow that principle. Here's the first one. Our shepherd knows us. Last week, we talked about God's presence and how valuable it is to lean into the presence of God. John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." Listen to this truth. We are his own. He knows each one of us personally, and we're called to know him. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, crowds saw him. They heard him speak, and they even followed him around. But many in the crowds, well, they didn't really know him. They spent time near him. They talked about him. They saw the miracles that he did, and they heard him speak. But eventually, most of the crowds left him. They didn't really know Jesus, this wonderful person, in a personal way. But the disciples who were with Jesus, they knew him in a personal and even an intimate way. They were with him all the time, and in the quieter moments away from the crowd, he spoke directly and personally to them. But it wasn't until after his death and his resurrection that the disciples would receive this wonderful person into them and begin to know Jesus inwardly. In John chapter 20, verse 22, on the day of his resurrection, the Lord Jesus, quote, breathed into them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the disciples began to know Jesus, not according to the outward, the flesh, but inwardly in their spirit. Listen, when we were born again, the Spirit came into our spirit. So we too have the ability to know Jesus inwardly in our spirit. When we prayerfully open ourselves up to him, we can sense what he likes and what he dislikes and how he feels about things. And every day we open more of our hearts to him. We can know our Lord in an intense and a personal way. So today, in the middle of a pandemic, you, like me, probably need to be reminded of that. Our shepherd, who lives in us, truly knows us, even our deepest inner being. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Are you scared? He already knows that. Oh my goodness, are you admitting your worry, even yet to yourself? He already knows that. Here's the second truth. Our shepherd, he guides us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, "For you were like sheep being led astray." Here the Bible is comparing us even to the sheep. Before we were adopted into God's family, we were lost in sin and we were far from God. Perhaps you've heard of the parable of the lost sheep, this incredible story, this beautiful story in the New Testament, where the shepherd leaves the 99 who are safe, the found, and he goes after the one that is lost. This is what our Lord does as the shepherd for us. But even as believers, we sometimes drift and we lose our way. And we're easily discouraged and we're drawn away from the Lord and away from his word. Without the Lord shepherding us, we would have no hope of remaining on the Christian course. But by his loving presence, he personally guides us just as a shepherd keeps track of each of his sheep. Not only does Christ guide us back to him when we're off the path, he also guides us in a positive way as the spirit of reality dwelling inside of us. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, "But when he, the spirit of reality, comes, he will guide you into all truth." So let him lead you today. Are you a type A personality? You probably need to hear this right now. Lean into him. Let him lead, because our shepherd guides us. Here's the third truth. Our shepherd cares for us and saves us from anxiety. Do you feel anxious today? You're in good company. Human life is marked by troubles and by sufferings, and we can easily become anxious. Many of us feel that in a big way today. And although our shepherd knows all, he still wants us to climb up on his lap and to tell him everything. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that we can, quote, cast all of our anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. So how can we do this? By prayer. How is your prayer life doing right now? Have you taken a long walk this week? And on that walk, have you talked to God? Have you cast your cares on him? If you haven't been doing that, I'd encourage you, do that. The weather is getting nicer. Do that. Pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." When we bring all our cares to him in prayer, we're released from the anxiety that consumes us. Then we can experience the very next verse, which says this, "And the peace of God," that's what I want, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So what are your thoughts? Where are your thoughts taking you right now? Have you been anxious about money? Let me give you a super practical resource. A lot of us are wondering and worrying about money right now. Perhaps you remember a few weeks ago, we actually talked about money in the Sermon on the Mount. And that day, if you were here in this space with me then, I challenged you to sign up for a thing called Financial Peace University out in our lobby. Now, if you're anything like me, peace sometimes comes to you a little bit better when you actually take some proactive action steps. So I want to encourage you to go online. Go to a website. We'll put it up on the screen here. It's daveramsey.com/hope. That same course that I was encouraging you that day was going to cost you about $100 to take. For the next 14 days, it's actually a free resource. You can go there, and instead of binge watching Netflix and all the anxiety that you're wrestling through even as you do that, maybe do something proactive. Work on your finances. How do you take what you have and how do you stretch a dollar? That's a great resource, and I would encourage you to check that out. We're talking about even creating a Facebook group in that VCC online community. You could be taking the class with other people and you could be encouraging one another and doing it together. Okay, here's the last truth I want to share with you. Jesus, our shepherd, gave his life for us. This is that moment in the service when we begin to gear up to do what we do every week when we gather together around the Lord's table for communion. So I want to invite you right now to grab those items, gather them together. You're going to need something that represents his body broken for you, some bread. Maybe it's a cracker, something with a little bit of crunch. It could be a Cheeto, it could be a potato chip. And then get a cup for everybody that's there with you and put a little bit of liquid in there, some juice, maybe some milk. And water if you don't have those things. And we're going to take those elements together here in a minute to remind us of the truth that Jesus, our shepherd, he gave his life for us. 2,000 years ago, God became a man, the man Jesus. And the Lord Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life on earth, unlike any other person. He expressed God to humanity in every place he went, with every action he took, with every word that he spoke. He ministered to people full of compassion for the lost sheep of the world. John chapter 10, verse 11. Before his death on the cross, Jesus told people what he was going to do. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So we've come to that time in our service when we remember that truth. So I'm going to encourage you right now to grab those elements and to simply hold them in your hands. Don't take them yet. We're going to take them all together here in a moment, after a moment of reflection, quiet reflection. And I'm going to encourage you right now to look past the desertscape. Look past the wilderness that you might find yourself in today. Look through it. Look for Jesus. God leads like a shepherd. So what's our action step? Well, he calls us to lead. So you lead, but here's my encouragement to you. Lead like a shepherd. Shepherd, by the way, is by far the most common metaphor in the Bible for God as our leader. Now, I'm a pastor by title, right? People refer to me as Pastor Stan. And I think we tend to think of this exclusively as a title. It's not. It literally means shepherd. And it applies not just to me, but I believe it applies to many, if not most, of you as well. Here's a couple of things that I know to be true. Number one, the world is craving leadership right now. Number two, leadership, in my opinion, is influence. You, if you're influencing people, you're a leader. And so I want to challenge you to influence, to do that, to lead, but to do it as a shepherd. So I'm going to invite you right now to look at that comfort item that you grabbed earlier, that you brought back. Look at that and see if you can recall why you have feelings that are attached to that thing. What are those feelings that you feel? Who does it make you think of? Why does it provide comfort to you? Here's the deal. Jesus desires to bring you that comfort times 10. Nope. That comfort times 100 or even times 1,000. And here's the thing, your job is to bring those same feelings of comfort. Nope, your job is to bring Jesus to those that you influence, to those that you lead. Maybe these are friends or neighbors, family members, coworkers. Can I commission you right now? Could I ordain you into the ministry of leading and influencing your world, people around you? I'm going to encourage you to look around right now. Look around. Who in your life needs a shepherd right now? Who is God wanting you to lead them through the valley? Remember, we don't camp out in the valley of the shadow of death, but who is God calling you to lead them through that? The world is desperately looking for hope right now. Who is it He's calling you to shepherd? And I want to challenge you to lead them, to influence them, to shepherd them. Some of you are joining us for church from a distance away, or maybe you've not been a part of what we're doing here. You should know that we've been doing this thing in our church. We call it Core 52. And this is something we're doing throughout this year, and it's an opportunity for us each week to kind of take a core truth from Scripture, wrap our heads around it, and we preach about it, and all week long we kind of work on that idea. This week we're going to be memorizing out of chapter 11. It's titled The Good Shepherd. We're memorizing the first three verses of the 23rd Psalm, and then we're working through the book together. By the way, if you don't have this book, you're local, we'd love to resource you with one. We actually have a button you can click that's called COVID-19 Resources, and we'd love to connect you with one of these books, or you could order it off of Amazon. We would invite you to join us in this venture that we're on. And I would encourage you, if you're working through this book with us, you're going to discover that when you read this week, on page 75, listen, Mark Moore, I've met him before. He's the author of the book. He's not a prophet. He's a great preacher. He's not a foretelling kind of a prophet, but this book went to press last year. But check this out. This is what you're going to read on page 75. It says this: the problem of poor leaders was pandemic. The problem of poor leaders was pandemic. Yes, he used that word last year. And then if you read down a little bit further, it says the implication is clear. God leads like a shepherd, and his delegates must follow suit. When we lead like Jesus, we're called to lead like a shepherd. So where is God calling you to shepherd through pandemic? Who is God calling you to lead right now? Remember, through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, some of you are being called to ministry right now. Ministry in your neighborhood, ministry on social media, ministry wherever your sphere of influence extends to. I'm so proud of the shepherds of our food pantry. These are real people right now meeting real needs in real time in real ways. So I want you right now to wrestle with your heart, wrestle with your calling. What is God calling you to right now as you watch this video? Check it out.